Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We have so much news. As I was kind of going through G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News, there are a few more stories than I want to not talk about. In other words, there's a few stories that we're going to go a few more episodes than I anticipated, because even though these stories are just, they're out there, they've been continuing to go, there are a lot of things that are growing legs. And as a matter of fact, one of those things that have been growing legs is how, even though we haven't had in the past week, we've had it recently enough to where there have been some mass shootings. Now, of course, they haven't been at schools, but we've had some mass shootings. And it's obvious that the Democrats are heading down this line. The progressives, let's just call it that, because we actually have Democrats as well as establishment Republicans who are sensing the urgency in getting necessary objectives in place. As a matter of fact, I've pointed this out before, but Governor Abbott, who is supposedly a conservative Republican who has been the governor of Texas for a couple of terms, he has been showing his colors as a progressive or an establishment Republican. He's willing to take away liberties. Now, if you are in the camp that you support individual liberty and individual sovereignty, concepts of laws and legislation to take away liberty and constrain people into compulsion and so forth, those are just not good things. And what I have seen in the past, and some of the things he said, and the way he views things, and in the way he communicates his views on things, to me, I actually recognize the fact that this guy has a foundation that has been, and look at where he's been. I mean, I understand that he is disabled, but I also understand that this guy's a lawyer, and he has been a lawyer that has served, and it's not like he has worked in trying to improve. You know, there are some good lawyers out there, but 9 times out of 10, they're most of them are out to get rich. Most of them, you know, ambulance chasers. There's those. And he's just impressed me as a lawyer that is more self-serving than he is. I mean, when a lawyer goes and jumps into politics, it's not because they are trying to offer a solution. They are serving themselves. I've actually seen a lot of lawyers that kind of get out there and they pound their chest. I'm a constitutional, you know, representative, and I'm, you know, a good constitutional lawyer. And I don't see it. As a matter of fact, I've yet to see one that has really gotten on board with the concept of republic review. They thrive on the problem because it's a way they can obtain control. It's a way politicians know that you want problems fixed and you will give them some of your liberties. And that's why we're in this position, folks. America, who has loved liberty over the past 200 years, had slowly surrendered liberties because as they've been confronted with problems, and some of these problems have been concocted. A good case in point, the run on banks by J.P. Morgan. J.P. Morgan deliberately did the run on banks in 1903, and he got the government as well as the people to surrender liberties and gain control and set up the Federal Reserve System, which is all unconstitutional. But the fact of the matter is they used a scenario to implant fear that we can't let this happen again, and you have to give us your control. You have to surrender your liberty so you can be safe. And as Benjamin Franklin said, that those who surrender liberty to find safety will find that they have neither safety or liberty. Anyway, So we're going to actually cover over the next few episodes some of these things that you just have not heard about. And what we want to do is we want to make sure we put this news or these events or things that are going on in context to Republic Review. So I'm kind of got my head down and we're plowing forward, getting through some of these things. And I'm not going to go through today's news. I never do. What I want to do is actually give you a good analytical view as things have kind of panned out. And it's the same thing with this impeachment, barring, because this impeachment is going to take this impeachment process, whether it actually goes through or what have you, who knows? Whether it grows legs, whether those legs get amputated, I don't know. We could be even getting into talking about eating babies. But at this point in time, because there's all sorts of things that actually happen as soon as something like that happens, and there's people that start reporting, oh, well, this is the deep state that's doing this, or this is Trump doing this, or let's let things go. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you, if you allow yourself to be sprayed by the mainstream media, they are going to deluge you with their Kool-Aid. You're not getting rinsed and cleansed with good water or good journalism. They're just feeding you propaganda. So the best thing is don't even worry. I've impressed upon you to get to a point where you just don't even tune into the news. You don't need to. What you need to do is start looking and examining politicians, looking at your local politicians, your representatives, and finding out where they stand on the Constitution and finding out if there's anybody in your district other than you that really cares. And if you're the only one that cares, then we're begging you and pleading that you get involved. Put aside your problems and put aside your fears of, oh, I might get outed because as a kid I got caught, you know, smoking pot or something. I was a bad kid. Well, as long as it's not some violent crime and anything like that, I mean, kids make mistakes. People make mistakes. Especially if it's long enough in the past, I'm trying to get you to understand. And as a matter of fact, if you run a campaign to say, you know, I was a pretty stupid kid and I did some pretty stupid things, but I've learned a lot of things since then, and I am not that kid anymore. I am an adult who has learned and have put those childish things behind me. With that, I believe you will have a very successful campaign. But you have to be honest. One of the things that the progressives always do during a campaign is if you're not upfront with that information, then what they try to do is they try to dump that on you or actually into the public's eye right before the election, making you, you know, fall in the polls and making you fall in the perception of your electors and or electorate. And then you find yourself, you know, struggling, trying to fight back. I've always told politicians, you want some good advice? I'm telling you right now, if you step into the political fray, the best plan is controlling the narrative. In other words, always calling out and making your opponents have to defend their positions on the very specifics of the issues. If you're making them have to defend their issue, defend themselves on the issues, then you're controlling the narrative. It's like if you understand what Trump does, he controls the narrative from the mainstream media. But in a campaign, you have to control the narrative of what people really think they care about. Because 9 times out of 10, you could bring up anything and all of a sudden people will care about that. And if you're bringing that up and contrasting that against your opponent, especially when it comes to liberty, that this person doesn't care about these liberties you possess, then you'll probably find that that person will be in the corner defending and fighting off these blows, and you're not even wasting your time, you know, punching them in the corner. You're all over the ring, and people are absolutely eating this up and seeing how you're leading. If you are leading, you are actually You're driving the narrative and controlling the narrative if you are leading. And as a matter of fact, I will tell you this, that if you look at the issues, if you look at the positions of your opponents and how they are nine times out of 10, the progressive positions are managing agendas. They're not leading. A leader recognizes that the things are dramatically wrong. Things need, you know, we need change. We need to actually engage in this and turn these things around. And what we do in doing that is we lead because people recognize that things are wrong. And so when they hear the same old status quo, well, we need more regulations. We need to be able to, you know, do these things for you. Are you kidding me? That's where it, so I'm giving you probably the best campaign advice. You can actually win. You can actually get into the 2020 election and actually win. Now, I did get contacted. I'll have to say this. I was contacted yesterday by a gentleman in West Virginia who is running for office. I've responded to the gentleman and he wants to come on the show. We'd love to have him. And as a matter of fact, one of the reasons why we're doing the news and so forth is so that I would have the room to kind of break in and give this gentleman an opportunity to talk about his local race, what the heck's going on. And as a matter of fact, if this guy meets the muster and he meets the measure, because West Virginia is a dark red state, and we do want to actually see good effective change in West Virginia. So, with that, I have to go into this hard break, so we'll be right back after these two promos. So please stay tuned, and more news and more candidates for you when we come back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
All right, so one of the things that I also wanted to talk about is as I slowly kind of clear my plate of some things, it looks like I will, instead of necessarily expanding the show first into a two-hour show, I'll probably wait on that. What I will probably be doing, and we'll probably be doing this soon, in the next month or probably at least by the end of the year, we will be moving to another live show again where you will actually be able to call in. But the reason we want to go down this path is just due to the fact that we will probably be doing a simultaneous feed with YouTube, and the I believe the name of it is Patriot Soapbox 24/7 live stream. And so those of you who have the ability to actually stream the sound just via the internet to listen, then you can, and you can dial in. We will be using our phone line. But in addition to that, you'll also be able to get engaged in a, you know, in a video form to where you will possibly be chatting and or what have you. But there's a lot of content. If you've never been to Patriot Soapbox 24/7, there are little chat, I don't want to say chat rooms, but different feeds and information between hosts and contributors and guests and or followers, supporters, and so forth, and people just put a plethora of data up there. And sometimes it's overwhelming, and then sometimes it's, you know, kind of interesting. And there's no doubt if you enjoy bantering and, you know, exchanging wit and so forth, this is a little bit more interactive for you. So what we're looking to do, because I, a good friend of mine, Dan Happel, is actually moving over to Red State, or not Red State, but Patriot Soapbox. And so if he's going to be doing that on his weekly show, then, and I know a few others, and as a matter of fact, oh, by the way, there is a Red Pill Expo that's coming up in about a month and a half. And it looks like, because I talked to G. Edward Griffin about this, I think I even mentioned this in my last interview, if not, it was in our private conversation, that he should be looking at doing this every 6 months, if not maybe every 3 months, and instead of doing it in one location, doing it in multiple locations simultaneously, so that what ends up happening is you create a series of events that actually kind of go over the weekend, and those events are happening in different places, so it brings your local cost down. So you actually get a chance to go. And if you go, then you, by actually attending, you'll be able to then stream the other events that are happening in different parts of the country. So if you kind of look at it, it's like a virtual Red Pill Expo where, you know, there's more of unique players at each individual area, and you're able to bring more people to the table and actually do a little bit more instead of just doing an annual and or what have you. This way, we can be more engaged in letting you know where Agenda 21 and what the new attack is in taking your liberties from the planners.net. So as soon as I find out, because I'm going to be talking to Dan and I possibly call Mr. Griffin as well and find out what the heck's going on and how they're doing this, because it sounds like he took my advice, and that's great. Because if we can actually provide better access and, you know, provide better information and make it to where it is more available and accessible, instead of waiting once a year and so forth and doing it every 6 months or every quarter, I think we will find that you will be able to get engaged even more often, because if you only do one event and it's on one side of the nation, then, you know, it's hard for you to attend. But if we make them more available in different areas and so forth, it just, you'll probably find yourself being able to attend either once a year, maybe once every couple of years, depending on where they are. But you get the point. The whole point is to try to bring more and more people to the table in doing these events. And hopefully, I'd like to actually see them done on a quarterly basis. But anyway, that's just me. That's just, you know, my pipe dream. Our listen number, by the way, if you can't get online to stream and so forth, it's 605-562-4209. Make sure you get that number into your cell phone, because if your boss comes in and you're streaming or what have you, you got to hang up or what, and you got to go do something, at least you can dial the number and put put the bud in your ear, and you can still listen to some of the things we talk about and are going to cover, especially when we're reading and so forth. What I want to do is I want to just go dive forward, because we're wrapping up the week here. And so with this episode, we wanted to cover some of those things that we have, you know, that's been in the news that we want to talk about. Now, I mentioned earlier this week that we're going to be doing an open letter to Trump, but there's some family events that have kind of dynamically popped in. And, you know, we all have lives. And as a matter of fact, I had a meeting with a station manager yesterday, and he was just, not that he was complaining, but he was talking about, you know, it's just so busy and everybody's so busy. And this is my common response to you, to everybody. There is an epidemic that is destroying our society as we know it, and it's called the busies. We are all so busy that we get so consumed, and what ends up happening is we do more and more of non-productive things just to, you know, kind of maintain the sanity, or I don't even want to say sanity, because bottom line is I haven't had a vacation in years. And so people go, how do you do that? And I go, because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy my work. All you have to do is find something productive that you actually enjoy and do that instead of wasting time on spending money. And I get it. Tourism makes a lot of money, especially in Hawaii. What would happen to Hawaii if they didn't have tourism? Tourism is a number one contributor to some economies that are, it's just huge. So I'm here to tell you that it's nice, but why would I want to travel to Hawaii and inject my hard-earned conservative dollars into what a beautiful tropical paradise that I know the politicians and everything there is all supporting subjugation and so forth? Why would I go there? I would be better off going up into the mountains or heading into a good patriotic town like Cody, Wyoming, and or Riverton, Wyoming. There are places that we can go, we can travel, we can get engaged, and actually be productive. So anyway, long story short is I was explaining to this gentleman that we are in an age that we don't know how to manage, want to say no to doing some things that actually aren't productive or have no benefit of spending our time in that direction. And the other thing is that we don't allow ourselves to delegate, trust, and work with others. So what we have to do is we have to start getting creative, especially in this age, because I know lots of people, especially those who are aging and old, are, let me just say this, that they're not necessarily early adapters. When new technology comes around, they just don't jump on it. But I'm telling you, folks, if you happen to have the graying trend in your hair, there are technologies that can make your life better. I'm not telling you to go get a smartphone, because I have one and I do not use the smartphone features because I'm not going to let them spy on me with the apps. But there are other technologies that you can get, you can use that are, you know, still autonomous. You can still not give up your privacy, still not give up your liberties and what have you, and still be able to find yourself far more productive and so forth. So sometimes change is good, and sometimes you don't even necessarily have to go buy a brand new car to be able to stream. They are coming out with units and so forth that you can install in an old tech car and have new technology. What you have to make sure of is that you have that you're looking at traceability, you're looking for security purposes. You don't want Big Brother in your car. You don't want Big Brother, you know, following you around, because we don't want to start moving in a direction like China. And if we do, and you happen to have the technology, you've just made it easier for them. So we have to make sure, and that's one of the problems I do have, is that there's not a lot of really good websites to ferret through some of this. And so this is where we need you to start actually promoting and or supporting organizations that are actually giving you those types of services, because somebody to actually go through and find out how much spying is going on with your Windows platform, with your, and there's some of them out there. I like Tom's hard drives. It talks and it exposes some of these things, but they don't go through all the tech. But long story short, I keep on going through these tangents and digressions. We did have one candidate from West Virginia. And as I said, we want to have more. What we want is you to be that candidate. We want you, the person that understands, has actually read the Constitution, understands the importance of the ratification debates, and understands the limitations placed on our government and our representatives, so that when you go in, people go, well, why aren't you doing your job? Actually, I am doing my job. I am supporting the Constitution. It is not my job to put money in your pocket. Anyway, and that's what's happening, and we've got to stop that. That's why we need you. We will be right back, and we are going to get into the news. We'll be right back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so we all know, we've actually talked about the protests going on in Hong Kong. Now, as you've kind of looked, and you've probably seen this in the news and so forth, what are the two sides? I want to contrast this to what's going on in America. When you see, and we've even talked about what's happened in Portland, there are two distinctive sides. The problem is, in Hong Kong, it is we'll call that a revolution. Because when you look at how they talk about it, first off, they're talking, oh, well, there's usually tens of thousands of supporters, maybe 100,000 people out there. I want to be very clear. I want you to understand that there are hundreds of thousands of people. They may not all make it out to the street. They may not all be able or willing to expose themselves, but they are behind the movement. If you look and understand who they are clashing with, it is not like America, where we have people that are supporting liberty that, oh, by the way, the mainstream media is reporting those as far right rednecks, red extremists or conservative extremists, what, you know, the far right. And that's who they're calling us. And then it's Antifa. And so if you understand how they're talking about the, they're not even talking, the way they label the oppositions in America, you can even tell how the news media is soft spinning and or even being supportive in trying to package the communists that are out there demanding compulsion and taking away your liberty. In other words, they want the state to actually crush you if they could. Now, I'm here to tell you that if you look at China, who is the opposition that the people are fighting? They are fighting the Antifas who have won. They are fighting the Communist Party. And they're saying, you do not represent us. We do not want you to be that intrusive into our lives. They're at a point where they want substantial change. They want to get rid of the not only Hong Kong, but all of most of China. Only those who have been bought into the credit system because they've been lured and have been rewarded. But it's just a matter of time for these people to start seeing how people just go away. And next thing you know, they may see them in a, you know, a facility, maybe tried. But the news media over there doesn't even let you know those types of these people literally just go away. And the only way you find out what the heck's going on is by you know how we have a black market? The black market is, you know, the free market, technically, right? If you understand the black market, just the term black market, that means it's a free market. It is the only free market that exists. When you walk down the street and you see somebody with a garage sale or a, you know, a, what do they call those? Flea markets or what have you, that means that there is no government involved in that process. You're not protected by if you get injured, if you buy something. I mean, there could be this huge risk if you buy a rock, because if you throw that rock at yourself, you could get hurt. And so government's not involved to protect you from throwing rocks at yourself. And I'm just being sarcastic. But anyway, the fact of the matter is there's no taxation. There's nothing involved in a black market. It is totally free of government encumbrance. The news over there, they have what they call a black news, or what I would call a free press, that is not sanctioned and is actually it's almost like a fugitive network where people can find out what the heck's really going on. But it is, you just don't find it on the street. You actually have to start looking. Getting information to the people in China is getting tougher and tougher, especially with the social credit system. People are starting to recognize this. They're starting to recognize that, remember what it takes to trap a pig. All you've got to do is start putting food in one spot out in the woods and then put up a wall, keep putting the food there, put up another wall over the course of time, put up another wall, and eventually when the pig is used to eating the food with three walls around them, they will, you know, they won't find the threat of the fourth wall until they realize they can't get out. And that's what's happening, and that's what's happening it's happening here. Folks, if you're not going to get involved, then I don't know how we're going to keep you out of these four-wall encumbrance the government is going to put, not just encumbrance, this is oppressive restraints that they will be putting on us. This is what we can see. And when you start doing the analysis of what is going on in Hong Kong, I can tell you that they are the opposition to these people that are standing up for the fundamental rights that you enjoy here. They're fighting the Antifa and the progressives who are actually trying to spin how good it is here. So anyway, one of the things that I want you to start thinking about when you look at this is actually looking at, well, all of a sudden, the guns and the uniforms and everything else has been moved from those who are supporting liberty to the hands of Antifa. And look at the brutal tactics that these folks are willing to use. Now, I've heard many people with hyperbole and banter talk back and forth, bring it on, we want to have, we're ready for the civil war and the revolution. We can't afford the time to waste on a civil war. What we have to do is that, and that's why we have to focus on the red states. The red states are in the best position. They will not tolerate Antifa and those types of things. And so if we go into the red states, we will find that we actually have the ability to grow and establish the footing for Republic Review to actually start. This is why I'm telling you, if you live in a blue state, your only hope is the red states. If you look, you try to stand up against your oppressive governor like Kate Brown or Jerry Brown, Antifa will show up and shut you down. That doesn't happen in Wyoming. Nor do they have stupid governors in Wyoming in these dark red states like Jerry Brown and Kate Brown or Newsom and so forth. So if you actually look at what's going on in June, this is where, they started really, bringing this up. And what has ended up happening is there are senators that are trying to bring into the spotlight those types of things that they're actually going after these goods and so forth. And as G. Edward Griffin kind of pointed out, is that a bipartisan group of U.S. senators introduced the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. Well, that's all fair. That's all good. And it's kind of nice, but it falls dramatically short. These senators need to bring into the spotlight that the practice of political prisoners, live organ harvesting, the implementation of Big Brother's social credit, and the way they are going after those folks in Hong Kong and how they're trying to change their lives and their game, these senators need to bring this all out instead of just saying, yeah, we can no longer be nice to China. China is it's the epitome of evil. If you look at everything they're doing, there's nothing good that's coming out of China. And if you're buying crap from China, well, all you're doing is you're supporting their principles and their concepts of it's okay to have political prisoners and take their hearts and everything else from them just to, to sell to somebody else so that that person can live. And they don't even care. They really don't care because it's just about money. And it's not like that money in China is going to anything other than a military advantage, whether that be in cyber warfare, they're building ships, they're doing everything they can to actually be the next hostile player in the world stage around the world. That's why they're building a navy. They know that a navy is what projects power. They've learned that from Britain, America, Russia, and so forth. And so here's the funny thing. For millions or for thousands of years, China never saw the need to have to project themselves. They didn't lift a finger to send trade from China, from all the goods and so forth that they were creating, from tea and all of that. It was Britain and European companies and countries that went into China to export for them. They never thought that they needed it. And now, I'll bet you anything, we better all be thankful for the fact that they didn't over time innovate and develop a navy, because they're a little bit behind all of us. But that is changing quickly. And so we have to start talking about the dragon in the room, which is the Chinese Communist Party, and the Communist Party is the evil player. Now, when we come back, because I notice we're going to be going into a hard break in just a minute, I'm going to talk about a gentleman who has created a fake, because we hear about fake news, and if you've heard in social media, gal, cut her dreadlocks. There's another story of a former NFL player that has done a fake news or fake crime, fake hate crime. And we will be right back talking about that. So please stay tuned, and we will talk about something you probably haven't even heard of. So we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so we've got this gentleman, and so, you know, I'm bad with names, so I'll be right up front, and I don't mean any disrespect, I'll just spell the name E-D-A-W-N, E-Dawn. And so when I first saw the name, I go, is that like, you know, e-billing or e-commerce or what? But I, you know, understanding how people play with names and so forth, it's probably Edon or Edwan. Anyway, Mr. Kaufman is his last name, and he is accused of staging a fake hate crime by spraying Nazi and racist graffiti on his restaurant in hopes of making an insurance claim and possibly to garner public sympathy. Now, you can go Google this or DuckDuckGo, right? Edon and Kaufman. Just go look and find out what the heck he did. Police arrested him on the charges of a false report of a crime and insurance fraud. Apparently, authorities confronted him shortly after his call, and he was the owner of this business after they saw him driving a described vehicle that was nearby, and it's inside it. It actually had several televisions in the bed of the truck that actually still had the wall brackets and the drywall that he ripped away from his establishment to, you know, to help beef up the crime that they stole his monitors and so forth. And who knows what he was going to do with this, but you know how people just, they start to concoct a bad idea and it just gets out of hand. And he ended up getting caught red-handed. I mean, they didn't have to go too far to where we're far, you know, they were able to, you know, put all the pieces together rather quickly to go, this is just another fake hate crime. This is becoming a real problem. Now, the fact that these things are becoming more and more common almost means that, you know, do we start beginning to stereotype? Because there used to be, a long time ago, a little bit of stereotyping with, you know, genders and races and so forth, after people would start to, you know, try to take advantage of their particular demographics. Anyway, I find this repugnant that this type of thing and it's trending and are growing in our society. Now, not to separate, let me do a go back on China. I know a lot of people, when they hear me talking about we need to get involved, we need to be involved in these things, there are a lot of pacifists out there, and there's too many of them clamoring. As a matter of fact, there's a reason for this. There's a lot of anarchists, libertarians that I believe are just literally anarchists that want to dismantle the good parts of our government, and our military is a great part of our government. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to demand that we stop being the world's police. I've told you too many times that we have to guard the free flow of commerce. If you enjoy paying the lowest price possible, a part of that is, you know, the taxes that we're paying, a part of that actually pays for that commerce to flow. You have no idea whether you'd ever be able to get a product that you really like or you're able to buy over the international market if commerce was not able to flow freely. Well, maybe we're just not doing a good job enough, if you ask me, in the world for policing. I honestly, and I've said this before, and I'll say this again, I honestly believe that we don't do a very good job in pitching the fact that there every country that has ports and every country that receives goods that is international goods and commerce, every single one of them is benefiting from the United States keeping these sea lanes open. And we need to do a much better job. And I know Trump kind of brings it up, but he's not bringing money home to help fund our Navy in maintaining these open channels. I will tell you, we do not want China and or Russia to start getting involved, because we've already seen a step up in the Middle East where we've got pirates and so forth. Those types of things will start stepping up as well, especially if we have to recoil our projection of force around the world in any degree. Now, let me give you another little reminder, the changing subjects here. There are the people out there that are, they're just wired to be evil. And so I don't know if you remember in 2015, but this came out. And if you know who David Daladin is, he's the guy, and I believe it's Project Veritas. He's the investigative journalist at the head of the Center for Medical Progress. And he's the one that released the undercover video footage of Planned Parenthood executives discussing selling human fetal baby parts that had been aborted. And how they were actually discussing this over a meal, by the way, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but there's certain things I don't mind watching, listening to music or watching something, but, you know, if there's going to be, you know, bloodshed, carnage and that type, I don't want to watch that while I'm eating. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I don't even want to have that conversation while we're eating. So much of this footage was obtained in California when Kamala Harris was the state attorney general. Harris refused to press charges against Planned Parenthood and instead sent police to raid the journalist's home and seize his film footage. Daladin was charged with 15 felonies of illegal taping of confidential information. So why is this story important? I'm here to tell you that if you understand how these progressives are wired, just like I reported yesterday, the attorney generals are deliberately not going after gangs and what have you, and giving them all the rein and all the room necessary because they're telling everybody it's racist to go after them. Are you kidding me? Anyway, in addition to this whole story, the CEO of STEM Express admitted in court that her biotech company supplies beating fetal hearts and intact fetal heads to medical researchers. She also admitted in court at the preliminary hearing of David and Sandra Merritt of the Center for Medical Progress that the babies' heads could be procured attached with the babies' bodies or could be torn away. Again, these are things I just don't want to, you know, talk about when I'm eating, but the fact that they actually had these conversations during a meal, are you, wow. I mean, this is how these folks are wired. The end, when I tell you that the ends justify the ends do justify the means. They don't even care. And as a matter of fact, they probably toasted to, you know, hey, to more baby parts or whatever the subversive and or perverse things that they're doing and the way they support this stuff. It's just, it's mind-boggling. In Switzerland, G. Edward Griffin also reports that among the first countries to begin rapidly deploying 5G wireless technology, over health fears and over the radiation from the antennas that have sparked a nationwide revolt, and the citizens are calling for a referendum, and this is in, again, Switzerland, calling for a referendum on the issue in the country famous for its direct democratic system. In other words, they don't have necessarily a representative form of government. The people, you know, actually can create their laws dynamically. A group of experts was appointed by the Swiss government last year to probe the risks involved with 5G, but their findings won't be published until the end of the year. So here's the thing. Even though they may have stopped the deployment of new 5G antennas, that has not stopped the converting of existing 4G antennas to 5G use. So in other words, even though they feel like they've stopped 5G, 5G is still being rolled out. It's just that they need a lot more antennas to support the 5G network. And but they still needed to convert the existing ones to 5G, so that's exactly what they're doing. And we'll see how this pans out. But this may be the first country that actually goes and forces a reversal of 5G. The question is, why is it that we're not leading on this? Why is it that America is actually allowing this? And it's not because America is allowing this to happen. It's because American government is protecting these businesses. Remember what I told you about monopolies. Monopolies are only evil when they are in cahoots with government. Because any monopoly that is in an open and free market, it has to compete so that, you know, without the, if it is competing without the protection of government, that means that they have to actually play nice. They have to be above board. They have to, you know, give you cheaper prices. They can't be taking advantage. And the wireless industry worldwide is taking advantage. They're making trillions of dollars and they don't care what happens. And, you know, if you understand business, the antithesis of business model is to kill your customers. But they don't care. The ends justify the means. They will figure out some way of being able, and they probably already have figured out a way, well, if all of these people die, then we'll just be able to increase our rates, you know, because we'll be able to do that over time and still be able to make our same profits and so forth. Folks, the whole wireless industry needs to be challenged. It's evil, and we need to do something about it. And we need our government, our representatives, to actually protect us. With that, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll get into how to do this later.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.